You shouldn't have come here. This is our war. Not yours.
300,000 dead and counting. That's not a war, Mr. Ito. It's genocide.
These people, they have no food. We can either help, or we can sit back and watch a country destroy itself on CNN.
Rangers, Deltas, today we go.
Name?
Blackburn.
Date of birth?
2/27/75.
I was trained to fight. You trained to fight, Sergeant?
I was trained to make a difference.
So guess what? You're going out today.
What?
It's what you wanted, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah.
Just remember when everybody else is shooting the same direction. You ever shot at anybody before?
No, Sergeant.
Me neither.
Once that first bullet goes past your head, politics go right out the window.
Hey, baby, it's me. You there? Pick up if you're there.
I love you, baby.
RPG! Hold on! 6 miles, go down!
My men are surrounded by thousands of Somali militia. I need help now.
Where's the rescue squad?
We're in.
I can't do it.
It's what you do right now that makes a difference.
People ask me, why do you do it, man? They want to understand it's about the men next to you.
Don't let that man crawl. Somebody help that man.
That's all it is.
No one gets left behind, you know that.
Nobody asks to be a hero. It just sometimes turns out that way.
All right.
I completely did not write introductions, so here.
Oh, this should be good.
Go. Welcome back, everybody, to Fine Movies, Fine Spirits, where today we are going back to 2001, 22 years ago, to talk about a Ridley Scott movie. And before I say the name of the title of the movie, even though you know because you downloaded it already, I'm about to make this White Claw Black Cherry down into my throat. Mm-mm, you could tell I didn't write anything and I'm getting weird looks, but drinking Black Cherry and I'm dressed in black because I'm on theme as we're watching Black Hawk Down. But my friends, I'm not doing alone. No, I leave no man behind. As first up, introducing Mr. Christopher Morris, who looks like he's wearing Revenge of the Nerds glasses right now.
I love it.
What are you doing, sir? And are you drinking this evening?
Doing well, Michael, with my I put medical tape that is on the glasses.
Oh, boy.
I am drinking Eagle Rare bourbon, which seems pretty fitting. I almost went with the skinny margarita. I actually was like, you know, it didn't. Didn't seem right.
A little insensitive, maybe.
Yeah, the Eagle Rare bourbon, obviously because of the eagle, but also distilled in Kentucky, which is the home of it's bourbon, which is the home of the SOAR. You know, that special for the flying unit. I don't know. We got Rangers, we got Delta, and then we have the 160th. SOAR, I don't even know how to SOAR, which is located in Kentucky, and I'm ready for this pod.
So bourbon. Okay, great. Just kidding. So, of course, joining us is a man who, back in 1993, when this film, the events in this film took place, you know, really could have been involved, could have been out there, probably thought he could be out there saving and protecting our nation, but no. Not long after that, he really was focusing his time saving and protecting the shoppers of the Mall of Rockingham Park. Mr. David Corsetto, how are you doing and what are you drinking?
I'm just drinking regular beer, but Mikey, I could have been.
See, no, there's no doubt in my mind when he watched this, he was like,
I would have no problem killing.
He would have been special forces. He would have been, and he, because over the years, it's like he definitely would have been a walk on in Arena League football. He thinks in the NFL, but
I have great hands. Wait. I have great hands.
Yeah, they were okay. They were, I mean, they were okay. Tiny, let's be honest.
Little hands, though. Wide receivers have big hands. You have tiny little hands.
I have great hands.
So you're saying you but are, I think without a doubt, is brave. Yeah. Would no doubt have laid your life on the line like these
absolutely would.
Rangers and these special forces members.
No, I don't pretend to be heroic.
Oh, no, it's no stolen valor, none of that. But deep down inside, I know he thinks
I would
could have done that.
I think I would, in the grand scheme of things, and the whole thing about this movie is, you know, especially when they talk about it at the end, like, why do I like when that guy?
Oh, yeah. So it describes it all. It's so great.
Yeah, what a great
really right.
up that later, but that is fucking that encapsulates this entire movie and what it these does. Guys went through.
Like they said, the whole thing is no man left behind. So it is, it is a great, great movie in a sense where you get the camaraderie and just looking out for, you know, like Band of Brothers, which we had, I don't know, we were talking about recently. It just, you know, the guy next to you, which Hoot, that guy, one of the best characters, Eric Bana, you know, a Delta Force member. Yep. Hoot. Oh, yeah. I have a list of favorites. So
I was ranking them on how good they were doing with their accents, and I thought he did a fine job.
I think you need to shut the fuck up with the accents. Who gives a fuck about the accent?
I'm watching
this
movie.
Well, no, Dave, the guy that you
Jason Isaacs,
Harry Potter nerds like, that was also in The Patriot. What's his name?
Yeah.
Jason Isaacs. He's in one of the Star
Trek
shows
now. The more I watched this, he almost ruined the movie.
No, he didn't. He was fun.
So bad.
What
he
are you
so
talking
bad.
About over there?
He really did over the top. I'll tell you my favorite character. Are we already doing that? Let's talk about our first impressions of the movie. And
so,
and
I saw this on DVD
first,
probably either 2001, 2002, very early
okay.
on. And then I saw this for the second time 2 days ago. I don't think I've watched it at all ever since. I remember liking it, but I don't remember it being like it's something that I would find like rewatchable a lot. Mm-hmm. And Dave's outside. And watching it this second time, I was like, this is a good movie. I'm not completely in love with it. Like it didn't like have me like, oh, this is amazing.
Okay.
Like, some of the obviously the story of the real life, like what you're actually seeing is incredible and everything. But then at one point I'm like, okay, shooting. Like I'm almost like, if I was taking notes, what would I say? Then they shot here, then they shot there, then they sat.
Yeah.
Then they shot.
Okay. Can I have a rebuttal to that? You dumb fuck.
I apologize.
He wasn't finished. No, I don't think he was finished.
Let's always agree and think everything's awesome and have an awesomely exciting podcast.
Well, I know. I agree.
I don't think it's a theatrical movie. I don't think it's meant to be a theatrical movie.
I think seeing it in the theater actually would have made it better. What is your definition of theatrical?
Yeah, yeah. No, because the technical excellent. It was technically excellent. Like, but I see what you're saying. But absolutely, I you know, like I was shitting all over some of the characters. Captain Steele, they made his character, you know, kind of ridiculous too. I doubt a lot of what he said actually happened, but he was just, you know, he was bad. He was bad. He had a bad accent. So as far as, I'm sorry, were you finished?
I'm not saying, oh man, I didn't like this movie.
Yeah, no, of course.
I remember really liking, and I thought it like the action, the character, a lot of good characters. It just wasn't like, wow, like, oh man, this is even better than I remembered.
Well, here's the thing. I don't think you can compare it to like a Saving Private Ryan where that's more of there's a storyline to it.
I think that's
more of
right.
a dramatic
those
story
characters line. I connect, not that I connect, but what they felt more like.
This was
well,
a,
I think that movie was also special. Yep.
Yeah.
Well, I think this was like a 24-hour pretty much fucking siege of a city that went completely fucking sideways.
And was it an immersive experience?
Yes.
They just put it really, they put you in the, you know, on the battlefield, now, you know, in the cities.
And I totally admit, Dave talked about a whole, like, remember, I have no memory of this, like, in real life happening. I was 16, yep. I think.
I
have, remember, like, I wasn't paying attention to that stuff, I guess. I didn't even know.
So I was almost with you, Michael. Like I didn't, I remembered enjoying it. And I, as I told you both, for some reason, I thought, I always thought of stupid Dave Matthews Band video. The space between, is that what it is?
Space between.
Yes. And and I thought it was on the trailer, it was on the commercial, but it was also his music video. And I thought it was going to be in the movie. I remember seeing it in the movie when it came out. I really enjoyed it. And I was like, I thought it was going to have that song in it for some reason. It was strange. So rewatching it, I probably hadn't seen it until probably a couple years ago. I watched it again. And obviously one of the best things about rewatching it was the cast, you know, so many people that were on the verge of stardom. Actually, you know what? I may as well tell you the three reasons, Michael, right? Yes. The three reasons why I really enjoy this movie, right?
And then I got to go through the tech after Dave throws in his whatever. I don't know if we're talking about favorites. You do your thing first.
We'll go. Yeah, no, we'll I'll go through the plot real quick. Yeah. I'll do the you know, the quick version of the plot like we've been doing. But so I actually enjoyed it. It's actually not fun, but very rewatchable. The more you watch it, the setup until, you know, when it all starts, when Blackburn falls, it's amazing. It's kind of amazing. But one it really has great effects. You know, the technical, like we said, immersive, incredibly shot, like, battle
real
scenes.
Helicopters flying to me.
Amazing sound. The helicopter, which is like an homage to the Apocalypse Now scene, right? Kind of going over the beach, and they're playing Jimi Hendrix. It's just it's technically fantastic. And then, as I mentioned, the ensemble cast of semi unknowns, so great seeing Jamie Lannister, Tom Hardy, Sizemore. You know, you have
of Piven being in this. I was like, what?
I didn't need that.
Or Ty Burrell, and then, from Family, Modern Family's crazy.
Oh, and then it really got to me, the emotional scenes with the two snipers volunteering, and the scene with when Smith dies. It's pretty emotional movie.
The scene with the snipers, like, I vividly remember watching that at my grandmother's house, watching those two being dragged to the streets basically naked.
And the real thing you're talking about. Outrageous. As you, yeah. Completely unnecessary, as you mentioned, Dave.
Yeah. But you watch. But the thing about this movie is, you, when you're watching this, you are really in the driver's seat when they're driving those Humvees through the streets. You feel like you're in those Humvees with those guys. Like,
yep. Yeah. I love seeing so many close-ups of shots of the bullets and everything like that.
And it's just like, even like when Josh Hart, like, is taking cover and those bullets are raining down on him from the helicopter. They're fucking hot. And he feels that heat going down his shirt. Like, that's like, you don't see that in a lot of war movies. So
I agree.
Hold up the anxiety, like, watching it. It's there. It's the most, I think it's the most palpable movie when it comes to, like, war movies. Like, that feeling.
When you say palpable, I mean, the opening scene of Saving Private Ryan, obviously, is with the handheld cameras. And the cream of the crop. So, but like I said, I found it very entertaining, which is crazy, you know what I'm saying, when you talk about the subject matter. But the story is amazing, the way it's laid out. He does a great job. I don't know if Mikey even mentioned
Shall I go
Ridley
through
Scott
the quick
yeah go through the
directed by Ridley Scott, written by Mark Bowden and Ken Nolan, starring a ton of people, but most notably was Josh Hartnett, Eric Bana, Ewan McGregor, and Tom Sizemore. I think Ewan McGregor might have been my favorite overall, thinking about it. A Rotten Tomato score, only 77% on the critic score, 88% on the audience score, 74 on Metacritic. On a budget of $92 million, it only made 2008, 2001, 100 million, still a lot of money. 108 million with another 64 internationally. It was nominated for four Academy Awards. Cinematography, it lost to the first Lord of the Rings. Best director, but it lost to, does anyone remember? Actually, we talked about this before.
What year?
2000. Well, this movie came out in 2001, so I'm going to guess 2002.
Best director, I don't remember.
Say the movie, you'll say, you'll probably, if I say the name, you'll probably say the movie. Ron Howard.
Apollo 13?
No, it was the boxing movie. Oh, no, that was Clint Eastwood.
Yep. A Beautiful Mind.
That was Million Dollar Baby. Oh, was it Beautiful Mind that year? Yep. I almost said A Beautiful Mind, because what's his name must have won Best Actor? Crow.
I think
Crow,
so,
who was supposed to be in this.
Oh, really? See, that would have been.
I think he was supposed to be the Sizemore character.
Well, then maybe not. I love Russell Crowe, but Tom Sizemore. Well, when I talked to Dave, I said, oh, by the way, it won Best Sound and Best Editing. But about Tom Sizemore, how Dave was saying to me how he stole, you know, this was his favorite character. My only thought about him is everything he says sounds so natural. Like, it just sounds like it's just believable coming out of his mouth. It just feels.
Well, it's funny because even when he. When he's like, what did you say? You know what I mean? Like, he had to repeat, you know, I was like, what's the purpose of him saying that again? When he's, I forget what he had to repeat, as far as he was either asking somebody to repeat something. He might've been talking about when Blackburn fell, he was asking him what happened to him. But yeah, his character was incredibly, had so many great lines. One thing about this movie I noticed is it kind of looks like a Tony Scott movie a little, right? It's kind of like stylized. It's kind of I don't know if anyone's ever said this. Maybe the most Tony Scott, Ridley Scott movie.
Is Man on Fire Tony Scott?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Whether that's all kind of stylized
colorized.
Yes, exactly. And this is kind of like a good Michael Bay movie, doesn't it? Can't you picture Michael Bay?
Yeah.
Which you know, Michael Bay's got some enjoyable movies,
right,
but
can,
I mean,
and he can,
you know, he's no Ridley Scott.
Ridley Scott, I've been hearing about him a lot lately. What other movies has he done? I know he's
Alien.
Alien. Okay.
Yeah, he's done Gladiator. He's done Thelma and Louise. He's done a million. He did two movies last year.
Yeah. He made a couple other Aliens, like the newer ones.
Did he make the
like Prometheus and Alien Covenant?
Yeah, he did the last duel, you know,
the last
years
duel.
Ago,
that's
that was
Robin Hood. He did like a recent Robin Hood in the last 5 years.
But yeah, I don't know, but he it's like I said, Michael Bay. But like a better version.
Am I wrong?
What?
Blade Runner?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Blade Runner too, right. Yeah.
He did Blade Runner. Yep, definitely. He did you'd have to look up He did, yeah. No, his IMDb is very impressive.
Guy's like almost 80 or gotta be in his 80s and he's still.
Yeah, and his, like I mentioned, that his girlfriend was probably the only female in the, you know, when she was one of the snipers who called home. She just missed his call, right?
Yep.
And that was actually Ridley Scott's girl. Shug Hart. Yeah. So do you want me to bang out the plot real quick?
Yep.
Okay.
Yes.
So obviously actual events. Somalia, 1992, it mentions a civil war, 300,000 civilians dead of starvation. And then we got Mohammed Adid, rules Mogadishu. 93, Adid declares war on the remaining. They pull out a lot of the troops, the remaining UN peacekeepers, including Pakistani. So some of the critics might not like, you know, like it wasn't like no Somalians actually were used in any Somalia, you know, citizens in this movie, you know, the critics get to,
I mean, it's a movie from 20 something years ago. I don't even know the like political, like what Somalia is now. It's like, could, or
still a country.
Could they, have, no, I mean, like what I meant was in 2001, could they get like Somalian citizens out to make a movie? I have no idea. I just don't know.
Yeah. No, that's actually, that's a valid question.
great budding actors coming out of that country right now. Yes, Mikey.
That's what I'm saying.
There was the Somali pirates in Captain Phillips. What is that? What is that? So, all right. I'm sorry. We're not going to get sidetracked. So it's aggravating that, as that Dave was mentioned, very effective. That the whole what?
Back to like the Somalians in the movie, seeing like the dead bodies, the bloated bodies. Oh, that was that
oh
was
at the like... beginning. Yes. Yep. So okay. I'm sorry. I got sidetracked. I'll just give a quick summation. Adid was stealing the Red Cross food shipments, and they gotta send troops back in. The Rangers and Delta Force and the SOAR 160 SOAR sent to remove him. So first they capture Atto, his name is an arms dealer. They need his help to capture two of the advisors of Adid. So
I like
Eversman. Yep, Eversman gets his first command. Because the other guy has a seizure. So they go in, they capture the two advisors, take a heavy fire, and the whole thing gets set off by Blackburn falling from the Blackhawk, which is an amazing part. So three Humvees are detached to take Blackburn back, and Blackhawk Super 6-1 gets shot down, killing the pilot and co-pilot, like you said, Piven. Ground forces are rerouted to the crash site, but militia puts up roadblocks preventing them. So two Ranger Chocks, including Eversman's unit, reach the site. Another Blackhawk Super 6-1, piloted by Michael Durant, gets shot down and crashes. Primary Ranger forces are pinned down. No ground forces can reach Super 6-1. So they land two Delta Force snipers, Shughart and Gordon, volunteered knowing it means, probable death. They get inserted into the site. They find Durant alive, and despite the heroics, both are killed, and Durant gets captured. So Captain McKnight and the ground forces have to go back with the injured prisoners. And General Garrison has asked for help from the Malaysia and Pakistanis. You got this. Mm-hmm. You guys still there? You guys still awake?
I'm banging this out so we can get into it.
Yep. So as night falls, Adid's militia launches attacks on the Marines trapped at Super 6-1's crash site. They hold off the attack with the strafing runs, and that pot is pretty awesome. An AH-6J Little Bird, it's called, with the strafing runs, which they need. The strobes lit up on it, so they see that. So finally, the 10th Mountain Division's relief column reaches the soldiers and evacuate the wounded. A bunch of Rangers and Delta Force are forced to run on foot to reach a safe zone at the soccer stadium. So then you get the end title. They show Durant as Michael Durant is released after 11 days. Clinton withdraws all U.S. forces. So 19 American soldiers are killed and 1,000 Somali during the raid. Gordon and Shughart, first posthumous soldiers since Vietnam to receive the Medal of Honor.
As they should have.
Mohammed, absolutely. So Mohammed Adid killed in 96, and General Garrison retires the next day. So that is the plot in a nutshell.
All right. So,
just ask, just me being, dopey again, asking about real life. All this happens. They end up getting the guy that they were trying to get. And that solved anything?
Nothing.
Okay. That's what I'm wondering.
Yeah,
guess what happens? Another snake comes into play, right? So,
excuse me. Yes, it's you get Washington in the brass. I mean, obviously, a lot of lessons in history have been taught, but
Well, it's their call. The big debate is: should we get involved in this civil war? So, is it a civil war?
That was interesting when that guy said that. He goes, "This is our war, not your war."
Yeah,
but I mean that's also a lot of the role of I won't even get into it, but so
UN or, I don't know.
Things. Yes, but so Rwanda, the genocide that happened there, I guess that was affected because of what happened here. They didn't get involved, so you had the Rwanda genocide. So, but. Just an amazing story and so well done how they laid out the whole plot.
Well, see, these Marines are different from the alien Marines. The alien Marines.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
We're all aliens. We're all a bunch of hooligans. And these Marines were all professional.
Right. This was more realistic. That was almost like.
You mean these true heroes based on actual events?
Yes, these true heroes based on actual events.
Okay, so. Of,
you
know,
23 so, did you mention that we're recording on Memorial Day? So, happy Memorial Day.
Happy Memorial Day.
To our fallen soldiers, and God bless them. And
100%.
Except for the ones who fought the alien.
No, but like, you see in the beginning where all these guys, they're young, they're obviously, they haven't seen battle yet.
Was Orlando, he was 18, right?
Yeah.
Yes, Blackburn.
They're actually excited to get into that fray and
that
do some
a
good.
Special kind of person.
Yeah. Well, there's Grimes who never had action, right? Because he's a good typist. So I guess, this is fitting that Mikey's favorite character, Grimes, wasn't based on a real person, but he was behind a keyboard. So that guy that they with the coffee and they kind of his real name wasn't Grimes. They kind of based it off of was the reason they didn't put him in the movie or his name or anything. He went to jail for child molestation for 30 years. So
we're not doing that.
I'm not saying. Yes, I'm not saying anything to do with Stranger Danger, but
hey, what?
I'm just kidding. I kid, Michael. I kid. That's a plug. I gave you a plug.
Thank you very much.
But what the hell. So yeah, that's the reason.
But
yeah, that makes sense then to do it this way.
That when the helicopters are going in.
Yeah.
You see all those friggin' helicopters going in. That was what an amazing shot that was, though. When you're showing them over the water, like you see, like they're coming.
It really was a great feat the way they did this movie. So as far as scenes, you know, when we can talk about, you know, scenes that impact you the most or just your favorite scenes, but when Blackburn falls,
that shot was pretty.
Dust coming, it's pretty amazing, right?
It is.
Pretty amazing, and then
like that's,
you know, just
the most famous
the
shot
impact on it was incredible. I guess they don't know if he really, if you know, they don't know how he fell, so there wasn't. I don't think they were really the pilot really wasn't avoiding a rocket.
That's what it was in the movie.
So
right?
I actually know someone that served there during that period. He worked for me, and a lot of the things talked about. Yeah, it was very like. Pretty true to form in that movie. So
he talks about it.
Yeah, he's like, you didn't know who was an enemy or who was a civilian. They all looked the same. And
he saw combat or
he saw combat there. Wow. And back. So if Steve Cohen is listening, thank you very much for
Thank you for your service, buddy.
Thank you for your service. Sorry that you have to work for Dave, but thank you for your service.
I hope. Yeah, Dave, we're talking about his service to the country, not his service to, you know, whatever you have him doing. So,
Dave's like, can I do it? Like, he tries to play games with more games with him.
But one thing, didn't it strike you that at the mission, as you know, we talked about the mission, but it seemed like something could easily go wrong. It seemed incredibly,
especially like a residential
in that hot zone. But it was completely, like a military, you know, military zone where, and they just completely shot at them. You know what I mean? As soon as they saw him, they had the phones, and
before they went out, like, okay, so we're driving in, we have no heavy artillery, and.
Yeah.
We're gonna take the fucking brunt of this. Nothing's gonna go sideways. We're all good. Like he was being
When McKnight, what a great character. Yeah, he's like, I don't like it. He's like easy for me to say.
Yeah.
But so Garrison mentioned, you know, they didn't allow me to have AC-130s, huge planes, huge gun planes, and or light armor vehicles, which totally would have neutralized the enemy. But so I like how it shows, like, you know, the background on the guys at the beginning, though, right? You get a little some of it a little hokey, you know, the speech with Josh Hartnett was okay.
Well, right? He was like, I thought he did a good job.
He was good. He did. He was good.
But he's the guy who believes in the mission or believes in the purpose. Yeah. You got a lot of different. Say it again.
He wants to make change. That's what he thinks his mission.
Right. And then you get the other guys. You know, the guy who tells it was actually Hardy's character, Wombly.
Wombly, yeah.
Excuse me. Who I guess passed away at age 50 something with a heart issue. So he actually is my favorite character, believe it or not. He doesn't seem huge. Hardy, not surprising, but I didn't, you know, just when you heard, oh, Tom Hardy's in it, doesn't look like him at all. He's awesome at with the accent.
And I hate to say what I mean? Great accent. He nails the accent. Yeah.
He really does. And he and the other guy who gets stuck.
When you know all these people aren't back in 2001, I don't think I would have noticed it because I didn't know. But now I know a lot of these people, and so many of them are not American.
But it was so great that, like, that part, if those guys didn't make it when they get left,
yeah,
it would have been like heartbreaking if they didn't make, because he's like, were we supposed to go to them?
Oh,
or did they leave us?
Yeah.
I almost took that as a little comic relief, I hate to say.
That was.
It was, because they, you know, they. And then there was the guy that was in the other guy that meets up with them was in Mystic River, I think. I don't know if you guys know that actor.
I don't remember. I mean, I've seen that.
You know who I'm talking about? The guy that meets up with them. When he's like, says, you assholes. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So
what? All right. Best scenes in this movie. For me, I think it's when those two guys were in the helicopters and they're like, all right, so you know, you got to hear us tell you that you're going to be going down there and facing basically
gets me every time.
You got to tell us that you're okay with this. It's okay. And like, they're like, yep. 100%. Yeah. And they just shoot down.
Yeah.
They're so, you know, and those guys are so brave and heroic, obviously. And so when they get, you know, they finally let them, you know, get inserted, and they save Durant and bring him over, and Durant's like, they're like, where's the rest of the, you know, so happy to see you guys, you two, where's and the look on his face, that guy was great. That guy's like a TV actor,
Rob Eldard or something. Eldred. He used to be on ER. He was on like,
you saw his face though when he said, when they said we're it, he's like, what,
exactly,
fuck?
Yep. So, and the part that gets to me is after, what's the guy's name? Gordon. After Gordon gets shot, Jamie Lannister plays him. And the other guy's, you know, like, shit. He goes back to him and he's like, he's gone, man. Gordon's gone. He's like, you know, good luck. But he's, the guy's so brave. He's like, good luck.
He knows that he's gone. But he knows he's done.
Just amazing. Amazing job by that. I don't know who that actor was. But
the scene, I mean, it's an awful scene, but it's the quiet scene of them trying to save that guy's life.
That was an unwatchable scene.
Yeah, that was rough.
Almost like Saving Private Ryan, where like
it was
so violent in the very nature of that scene.
And then he's like, did you get it? And he's, the guy's like, yeah, don't worry.
Yeah, they tell him, yeah, you're good.
When the blood just squirts from him.
Yes,
and he's like, what the fuck is that? Like, what is that?
Right, he saw it himself.
Yeah. That was such a... That was an emotional
Hi, Andrew.
He just left.
Oh. I was going to congratulate him.
Andrew! What union did you get into? What's the union you got into? 103.
Union Brotherhood.
What is the union? Is it the IBEW?
I think so.
Combing his beard.
Congrats,
103 IB, whatever it is. You have the letter? Oh, no, we'll do it later.
Nice. Nice.
That's good.
Awesome.
Very good.
So, but I know you were talking about I think his name was Smith.
Partner
was good in that scene. But before we leave the scene with the snipers who died and they grab his body, it's just brutal, like you said, you saw it on TV. But and then you see Durant. You that scene was like amazing that you thought he was going to die too, right? You're like, this is just brutal, just terrible. And
when he's trying to grab his picture of his family, obviously that's probably a dramatic effect, but you don't know.
Exactly.
Mind when they're taking him hostage, he's never going to see his family again. So
the fact is he like he gets freed. I never
they released him 10 days later. Yeah.
Like why? Yeah. I'm not to be like, but why would they do that? I don't know. Like just afraid of the brunt of the American military, or.
So how about when I do also love when Hoot and his Delta members they use the night vision goggles and they take over the.
Oh,
I don't know how I don't know how traumatized that was, but they take over the three guys with the rocket launcher and then they turn it on the guy who with the big guns. So
fantastic. And then one of the other great scenes for me is when Josh put that friggin'
strobe
on the roof and then those two fucking guns come down. And just the rain
was a little satisfying.
Oh, and then, so satisfying.
Yeah, and so I love I think we all love Sizemore in the thing. I told you one of my funniest lines. One of the funniest lines was the guy's like, you know, they got to get us killed, you know, Captain. They got to get us killed. He goes, well, let's hurry up and get it over with.
Yeah.
He was
when that guy
brutal in that movie. Even when the guy got shot in the face or whatever happened, and he's like. Keep your fucking foot on the gas. Like, just keep going. Yeah. Like,
and then you get shot in the neck.
It wasn't incredible. Like, yeah, we could do it. He's like, no, we can't do it. We have to come back.
Yeah, that scene was something, too. When he's like, can you do it? And he's like, nope, we'll do more harm than good. We'll go back and then come back. And then, of course, he goes back out.
Yep.
And the one guy goes back out. And then Hoot is obviously going back out. And then, the run to the end is great.
But even Hoot,
everyone cheered for him. That was true.
But even Hoot talking about... When his name died, he's like, you did everything. Basically, like you did everything you could. Like this is his first real leadership in battle, and you gotta take that. I gotta imagine those poor bastards that have to lead people in times like that. When you lose someone underneath you, like he says,
brutal. It's his buddy. I mean, that was a very sad ending too. It was like his buddy.
Yeah,
and when he's talking to him at the end, you know, after. At the very end, when after the they make it and stuff like that, he's talking to him saying, "You don't know if you'd be a hero." I actually heard another review on it. I think it was a podcast years ago, but he was obviously telling. He goes, "You don't know you're going to be a hero," and he's talking about Smith. He's not talking about himself.
Right.
Like somebody was bashing them and saying, "Oh, that was weird that he was said he was a hero," and he was like, "No, he was talking about his buddy Smith who died."
Yeah.
So. Yeah, it was very affecting.
In that hangar.
So, but and then the most important thing, it's all about the man next to you as Hoot gives him that speech.
As he's ready to eat and go back out.
Yeah.
But the other emotional parts, too, where you're looking at, like, when I think it was Trombley, I think it was him, when he was in that house with Twombly. The mom. Trombley with the mom and, like, the five kids. I think that was
him. Oh, no, that wasn't him. No, that was someone else. No.
But
that was the kid from. Yeah, that was crazy.
You like
imagine them though their life right?
Yeah. They're just trying to live and then he gets out, and the kid kills his own father or whatever, and you're like, but this is the situation they're in, and it's so brutal that people go through that shit. Like I look at both sides, even like when they were driving out.
Of course, and the people starving
the old man character
stealing
the old man character
at the very end.
Was like, holy shit, like this is it's just and it blood all over his gown, terrible circumstance. It was that what the movie's about, really.
Brutal. The horrors of war
of that 24-hour span, and then what that country was going through. It's fucking crazy.
And yet
I know.
Like it was weird. The guys coming up with the glasses of water, they look so proper, like from like another part of town where it's kind of okay over there. Or something. It was
well, those are you're right. I think those are Pakistanis from the UN. You know, the Pakistani soldiers. So they because it said the Pakistani stadium. Obviously, it's not in Pakistan. But speaking of really heavy, serious parts, we haven't even mentioned the song, Mikey, the music of what's your band, Faith No More.
That's when they're all getting ready to. They're ready to go out.
It's a pretty good song, actually.
Well, it is a good song. It's a good song.
Pretty.
It's a good start to a movie that it's like it's going to be intense.
It ramps.
And then there's a good Hendrix song, Voodoo Child, I think it is. So, insert music here, Mike.
I heard some grunt. Did I hear like Alice in Chains in there too? I think.
There was a little Alice in Chains. Yeah. They, and there was obviously Stone Temple Pilots.
Yeah. Okay.
Think,
that,
you know,
but I think to go back to the point, Mikey, like this for me wasn't a, it's not a theatrical movie. It's not a movie that you can say, hey, like, I love the acting. Well, I love the, it's really not.
Yeah, oh. I know what you mean. Yeah.
Event, I think. And I think for us doing something based off of Memorial Day, I think this was a fitting movie.
Absolutely.
To all of those people. So.
Absolutely. To those brave men who sacrificed it just takes, their lives.
Like, I like my cousin had a friend who served and was killed in battle. And I knew him a little. Like I went to a concert with him once. He seemed like a kid to me, you know, like a young guy.
Of course.
Probably like 18, 19. And just, it just takes a special kind of person to do that.
Look at,
I know is not me.
Look at the guy from the Cardinals. What was his name again?
Oh, that's, we were talking about that. That's where that came up. Yeah, Pat Tillman.
Pat Tillman.
Of course. Yeah.
And yeah.
Just, what a crazy story.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Killed by friendly fire. That was crazy.
Terrible. And the way they announced it thing was that he died in battle, but, you know.
Yeah, they covered it up. Right. It was crazy. Yeah. So, but happy Memorial Day.
Yep. Happy Memorial Day. Yes.
And
I think we nailed it.
Thank you for your service.
Absolutely.
I think so.
Now we'll get back to regular movies again, right? After this.
Yeah, we're going to go back. We're going to go. We're going to jump ahead to 2020. But David, my friend, you're going to have to read again. This next movie.
Is it another Dutch movie?
It's another Dutch movie, but it's another.
We didn't watch any Dutch movies. We watched Danish movies.
I'm sorry, Danish movie. Yes. Dave, I promise you, when you watch this movie, once again, you're going to start texting me or calling, going, Mads Mikkelsen's amazing. This movie is awesome.
Is he in this?
Yes.
Oh, yes. He's the star of it.
Movie. All right. Fantastic.
You
okay.
will love this movie. Yes. This
well, guys, listen, everything that I've had to read so far that I love. Parasite, yeah, even though Parasite's ending was so fucked up.
Yeah.
It was great. The Guilty. The Guilty also.
That's right. The Guilty, good. Too. Three for three so far. I say you're going to
And
go
then obviously Another Round.
Another Round was the best of all time.
So we're watching from 2020.
I can't argue.
No, yeah. Sorry. Riders of Justice next time.
Did it win anything?
It won my heart. I don't know if it won anything.
I don't know. Who brought this to the program?
I believe Christopher Morris did.
Oh, yeah. I think I did again.
Yes.
Oh, but we're going to do a summer blockbuster soon, too, right?
Yes. You brought up one. I think
we'll
that would be a
it.
Fun, good idea.
Yeah, eventually.
We've already voted 2-1, so we're doing it. We just talked about it. It's
perfect.
Goonies. No, not yet. Not ever. Anyway, thanks for the burp, David.
How would you, Goonies?
You can find us on Twitter and on Instagram. You can find us on Twitter and Instagram. Twitter at @fine_movies. Instagram at @finemoviesfinespirits. You can find Dave on the roof of some restaurant in Salem, Mass. Most nights. David, are there any parting words from you, Mark?
A really good bar. You'd love it.
Yes. Any final words? Any thoughts?
No, in all seriousness though, I really do. I want to honor the people that have served first. That's all. So you can fuck off with all your jokes, Mikey, on that one.
There's no jokes to be said there. No jokes to be said, even though you think you could do it. Chris, any final words for you?
Think we said it all. Like I already said, half
of
Memorial Day.
Say it all. All right, my friends. Oh,
yep.
Yes.
I was going to say
I thought you were going to bring up Brian again.
As far as the movies we have on this pod, I don't know if you noticed, there can be a vote, but I have final. That's, I have final editorial.
That's
you
true.
Know.
He's the one who takes the notes. So
I don't think I picked a movie. I don't think I picked a movie in a fucking long time.
You picked The Graduate.
You picked Black. We did Black Hawk Down because of you.
That's true.
That's right. And I have been watching The Graduate again lately. I fucking love that. I love being with my buddies again. Oh.
I can't. It's great.
Oh,
I can't quit you.
Yep. Then, honestly, until next time.
I've had to go on a run of Dustin Hoffman movies since the last movie we did.
Oh, Marathon Man? No, you watched. I told you to watch it. You watched it this past week.
Dave, have you ever listened to the podcast, you stupid asshole?
Have we done Marathon Man yet?
We did. You just weren't invited. All right. Anyway, until next time, say goodbye, David.
I guess. Can we do Marathon Man?
We talk about great movies while drinking. We talk about great movies while drinking. Yeah, we talk about great movies while drinking.
Subscribe.
We feel fine.
I'm watching Close Encounters of the Third Kind right now.
How about you don't watch a movie during the podcast and get our attention completely?
I'm giving you my attention, but the girl from Christmas Story's in it, and she was fucking the mother. She was hot.
Wasn't she in Slapshot too?
Yeah.
Was she in Slapshot?
A woman in Slapshot?
Yeah. Do you watch any? Yeah, I think so. Do you watch any movies past 1970? Fab Not Experts.